Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Talk about getting healthy. This is the place. You're listening to Talk Healthy Today with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Dr. Laval, if someone was to ask you, do I approach my blood pressure on a preventive protocol? Do I wait until I think there is an issue? Because a lot of people are going to say, well, if it's not broken, what am I doing? And, you know, if I go in and it's perfectly normal, do I really need to start thinking about a protective protocol? Because it's confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proactive with people, and I think people should think about their blood pressure proactively. Now, what's the first thing they should do? Well, I think learning how to do some kind of deep breathing or relaxation each day is really important. There's apps. If people are interested, they want to know an app that'll help them learn how to breathe again, they can do that, right? Everybody's kind of half-minded these days. But I think it's important that you work at your vessel health. And so that means, am I going to get some exercise in? Am I going to do some relaxation? What other lifestyle habits can I improve on? If you're not a smoker, great. If you're a smoker, you should consider stopping smoking. And then it has to do with diet. And just remember, the more carbs, the more insulin. The more insulin, the more the blood pressure goes up. So I'm really big on trying to teach people about modified low carbohydrate diets, realizing that, you know, the higher your blood sugar goes up, the more your arteries want to plaque. And then I think it's important for people, I honestly think, aged garlic extract, kyolic, I love it. I tell people, look, if there's one supplement you take more than a multivitamin, you think about taking aged garlic, because it's been shown in human studies, UCLA School of Cardiology, to reverse plaque. First time it was proven and just published. It works on endothelial health, so your blood vessels rebound better. It reduces oxidized LDL, so you reduce your rate of rusting. And it has a bunch of other benefits, and it's one of those things that I think is really an important supplement as a part of a comprehensive program about, well, not only do I want to keep my blood pressure down, I want to keep my weight down, I don't want to become diabetic, I don't want to have an autoimmune disorder, so I want to manage my stress, sleep better, eat healthier, take key nutrients. They're going to keep me in that sweet spot of feeling great. And I think that's, I think people want that. They don't know how to get there, though, for the most part. It's not the way we've been trained in our society. It's kind of like, wait till it's broke, then fix it. And we're seeing that doesn't work.
You know, I'm a big believer of the Formula 109 from Kyolic, because it basically, they found a way to, at least label it correctly. So in the midst of confusion in health food stores, people can walk up and say, oh, there you go. That's the one.
Yep. It's easy, right? It's easy. So I, once again, I think, people need to be on front of blood pressure. You should be taking your blood pressure, even if your blood pressure is perfect. Once a week, put your arm in a blood pressure cuff. So what? Even once a month, do it in the morning, do it so you really keep on track of it. The same thing with blood sugars. I mean, I tell people all the time, look, you can get a little blood sugar monitor, stick your finger and look what your blood sugar is an hour after you eat. If your blood sugar goes up over 140, guess what? You're working on plaque in your arteries, and you're working on getting your vessels to be stiff. And that's a real easy rule of thumb, that people can be proactive and they can do that on their own.
I want to ask you a question about lifestyle. When lifestyle in general is something that we all need to focus on. When we start approaching a healthier way of living, we try to approach the things that are the most important, getting a good night's rest, drinking plenty of clean water. But I think the biggest hurdle for many people is the food. It's not like quitting cigarettes or quitting drinking. When you quit those, you quit and you're done. Food, you may change your diet, but we still have to eat. So we're still going through the process of eating. And what I would like to do is I would like people to be able to approach it a little bit in an easier way. So if somebody talks to you about dietary restrictions or maybe a way of focusing on their diet, what foods do you recommend that are not only healthy for us in general, but maybe things that would be supportive of a healthier blood pressure? And then maybe we should also hit some of the things that should be definitely on the no-no list.
Sure. Well, I mean, the first thing is that, you know, there's no bakeries closed down, right? And I don't see any broccoli shops opening up. So it's harder for people when they're out to find healthy food. You have to know what you're looking for. So, I mean, the first thing is you know, eat a plant-based diet, you know, and that is get more vegetables into your diet. I always tell people eat three vegetables for every fruit. So, you know, potatoes are vegetables. I want to eat a lot of potatoes. No. Can you eat some potatoes, especially if you get, if you eat the skin too? Absolutely. So vegetables are important. A moderate amount of fruit. Lean proteins are a great source. So chicken, fish, turkey, beef. I'm a big fan of grass-fed beef, bison, you know, lamb. Make sure you can pick those things. If you're going to do grains, make sure you add fats and protein to grains. So if you're a person that has to have a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, make sure you add some protein to it. So put a scoop of protein in it. Add a little bit of coconut oil in it or a little bit of ghee, which is, you know, clarified butter, so that it's a mixed meal, so that it slows down the transit time of that oatmeal. I like people eating, you know, higher protein breakfast, higher protein lunches, and then going for maybe some starch like rice at dinner. And I think that helps them with their appetite and it helps them with their craving, because the biggest thing we fight all the time is, well, what is the, you know, why am I craving these foods? I want to do the right thing, but I get to 6 o'clock and I'm craving food. I want something sweet. I want something starchy. I want something salty. Mm-hmm. Broccoli isn't cutting it. Well, that's a sure sign that stress has taken over your brain, and now you have a reward cascade issue. Your brain is asking for a reward. It wants you to take that cookie and rub it on your head. You know, it's not a matter of just eating it. And so, you know, it's important to understand that people have the best intentions. But if their mind is not able to follow through with picking the right food, it's a problem. So the bad things, right, it's the obvious, you know, I mean, the obvious things are, you know, cakes, pies, cookies, don't do them all the time. But a lot of people think that eating things like bagels are good. And they're very starchy, very high in carbs. And so eating bagels all the time is not a good idea. Eating, you know, cereals. I mean, they're, you know, even if you get a bucket of rice when you go and you get your, you know, Thai food, if you eat the whole bucket of rice, you've eaten enough rice for three people.
That's right.
But people don't look at it that way. And so you need to learn how to count your carbs. One of the most important things, I think, we didn't ever used to want to teach people this. I always wanted to teach people how to eat healthy. I've now reverted back because I found out that most people have no concept of what they're eating or how much they're eating. So we actually teach people how to count their carbs again. And then what are the smart carbs to pick? So I think it's important for people to, you know, they got to pay attention. If you're working out a half hour a day, most other people are sitting around or sleeping 23 and a half hours a day. You're not that physical in their daily life.
Okay, now let me take this to the next level. What about caffeinated beverages? Any relationship to blood pressure?
Oh, absolutely, right? I mean, just failed to mention that one. But, you know, people that take in a ton of caffeine, so, you know, the rock star world we live in now or the monster world we live in now, and it even gives you the caffeine content on the can. You know, it'll say 240 milligrams of caffeine in a can. Well, that's the equivalent of three cups of coffee. And people will drink two or three or four of those cans in a day. And I've had people that would take in six in it easily in a day. And so caffeine, without a doubt, has a tremendous impact on your blood pressure because, once again, it stimulates the white tiger response in you, or a stress response when you, it's why people drink it. It makes them alert. But you're not supposed to be alert fighting a white tiger all day. And that's what people do, is they start to rely on caffeinated drinks to get them through their work day.
Let me ask you a question. How do you approach the philosophy or the mentality that once you are on a medication for blood pressure And we should say that the blood pressure medication category is quite large. There are hundreds of medications.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times over the years I've worked with someone or spoke with a friend or a colleague, and they're saying, you know, my doctor just changed my blood pressure medicine again. I'm on like my 15th one, and they're trying to find something that's going to work. The doctor says, we'll just keep trying until we hit something. And then they finally get on one. And what about this mentality of once you're on it for life?
Well, I mean, you know what? That's kind of an allopathic mentality, right?
True.
That's kind of traditional medicine. And if you don't do anything to change your health, you are on it for life. Mm-hmm. So the real question is are you willing to change your lifestyle so that you can get off a medication that probably is depleting some nutrients out of your body and more than likely is going to result in more medication and more than likely is going to cause a side effect? I mean, and, you know, and I'm not against meds, believe me. I mean, I you know, as a pharmacologist, I understand how valuable medications are. But I also understand that I only want to use them when I absolutely need them. So, you know, so if you can drop the weight, if you can manage your stress better, if you can get a good night's sleep, if you can manage how much caffeine you need to get through your day, and then if you can, you know, take a couple things to help your health, magnesium, aged garlic, we mentioned, maybe some arginine or a derivative, you can literally unwind yourself from that need for that medication. There's not a prerequisite that you have to stay on it forever, but you do have to take the responsible road. You have to empower yourself to say, I want more out of my health. I want to work to get off of this med. I want to work to get my blood pressure down because, once again, you know, high blood pressure, guys, it is the canary in the coal mine. When your blood pressure starts going up, you know your vessels are going to be getting damaged and you're more at risk for a heart attack.
You know, the idea of being on a medication for life, I think a lot of us have... Something has transitioned in this country over the last couple decades. We have become a nation of symptomatic relief. You know, we will do whatever it takes to make an annoying symptom that alters the quality of our life. We'll do anything we have to do. And many of those things are pharmaceutical or drugstore over-the-counter type quick fix medications. You know, we'll do those because we're annoyed by our symptoms. But also somewhere along the line, we stopped fighting to get our health back. We have just thrown in the towel and accepted the idea that we're now pharmaceutically controlled, so we don't need to focus on it anymore because my doctor has my back. And I don't know how to reshape that mentality because it's pretty deeply rooted these days. And I ask people, I said, why aren't you fighting everything you can do to make the changes to get off that medication? And there's rarely an answer.
Well, there isn't a good answer because it still is back to that thing of I think we're in a transition time now where people are beginning to want to really empower themselves so they live a healthier life, but we're in the early stages of it. There's a lot of drugs being sold. I mean, record amounts of drugs are out there, and I'm not, once again, not being anti-drug, but you know as well as I do, look, the number one thing we all fear, when you talk about it, it's polypharmacy. The more drugs you get on, the more the adverse events, the more the risk of death. I mean, when you think about it, you know, like number three cause of death, you know? So, you know, it also confounds me that people don't see it that way. But I partially blame the fact that, you know, most people are in totally in the dark about their health. I mean, we don't do a good job of explaining health, and you know, as people are, you know, children are growing up, health classes are few and far between, and there's no real emphasis on phys ed anymore in schools, and so I think in many ways there's some going backwards, and then we've got this whole movement of saying it's okay to be overweight. Don't focus on that. If you're overweight, you're overweight. Just try to make other areas of your life happy. I'm like, no, because no one's happy when they have kidney failure. No one's happy when they're a diabetic, get erectile dysfunction, or they have to have a digit amputated. These are serious health issues that happen in people, and most of them are lifestyle-driven.
You know, obviously everybody would love to be able to say that they ran a marathon or did an Ironman competition, but, you know, let's face it, let's be realistic. You know, a lot of people just want to know, what can I do movement-wise? What kind of exercise can I do that's something I might even enjoy that could actually help with the maintenance or the reduction of my blood pressure. There's got to be some basic things we can do that are as effective. You know, we don't have to run a marathon, just movement, I would assume.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just walking. I mean, walking is known to lower blood pressure. Go out and take a good walk. Walk as briskly as you can. If you need to measure your heart rate, you know, because you feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm so out of breath and my heart's beating real fast, get a little heart rate device and, you know, measure your heart rate and see how it's doing. And, you know, you can go, you know, you can easily go, you know, from there, you know. So from walking, you can think of things like yoga. You know, Tai Chi is great for lowering blood pressure. So, you know, it's a, you know, kind of a Chinese, I call it as Chinese yoga. But it's
true.
But I that's what I did. I mean, I did Tai Chi for 10 years and really calmed down my nervous system. And it was a huge benefit for me. And I think that there's the other thing you have to do is you got to find out something that you're going to enjoy. You know, and that's, you know, do you enjoy gardening? What is it that you really enjoy? Because everybody doesn't want to even go to a group fitness class and jump around and, you know, jump up and down and, you know, do all kinds of things, right? There's some people just like, look, I don't like doing that. I don't enjoy lifting weights. But, boy, I love taking walks in the park. Or, boy, I like, you know, trying something like Tai Chi. Well, good. You know, you got, but the one thing we know is you've got to move. Don't think you got to look for the closest parking spot when you walk into the store. Maybe try parking far away.
You know, the other thing is, you know, we talk a lot about heart attacks with blood pressure, but sometimes we forget the connection between strokes and, you know, the carotid arteries, you know, that one lane theory, again, restricting blood flow to the brain and affecting our memory and our focus. But strokes have become much more prevalent today, and once again, younger folks with strokes.
Younger and younger people with strokes, younger and younger people with, you know, heart attack. It's a huge problem. And when we think of blood pressure and you think of a heart attack, once again, you have to think of your cardio neurovascular network. So it's not just about your heart, it's about all of the vessels that carry the nutrients, mainly oxygen and glucose, to your brain that you need in order to function. And so you have to realize, once your blood pressure is up, the blood vessels are getting damaged because of the excess of pressure. And that vessel damage can play out anywhere. So you can develop a thrombus, create a stroke. Which is every bit as devastating as, you know, having a heart attack.
You know, I have a friend that back in 2008, you know, when she went through all the crazy jobs and downsizing in the industry and everything in the world just kind of fell apart back in 2008, housing industry, and she lost her job and then got another job right away because she's pretty much in demand situation. But she had 120 days she had to wait for her health insurance to kick in. And during that time, she wasn't able to get her blood pressure medicine, which she had been on for a long time. And she said, Jeff, I'm nervous. And I said, well, I said, get some aged garlic in your system, drink some water, cut out all the sugar and the carbs, and go for a half hour walk with that overweight dog of yours that needs to get out and walk too. And she laughed, and, you know, because we've been friends for a long time, and she started doing this. Well, the funny thing was, during that 120 days, she dropped 25 pounds, was drinking a ton of water, went back to the doctor for the first physical with the new insurance, and the doctor said, what are you doing? Your blood pressure is normal. And she said, well, this is what I've been doing. And he said, well, we're not going back. He said, whatever you're doing is working amazingly and working better than with the medication. So in this instance, she took control, maybe out of fear, probably out of, you know, frustration and necessity. But, you know, sometimes I don't think that we realize how strong we are and how much we can focus. And when we take the responsibility, you know, and we take it back because we've handed it over sometimes and we need to take back our health again. And sometimes a little bit of that personal motivation. I mean, you wouldn't believe her now. It's unbelievable. She dropped another 25 pounds. She's doing 10Ks now, lecturing people at her groups about blood pressure natural reduction. So this is
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is.
It really is. That was, yeah, I mean, you know, we have these stories of people that they have literally changed their lives. And you know, and it's great that you know, it makes you feel good when you're able to be a part of that, right? That you see that now she's an advocate in changing lives for people. And I really do think that, you know, it's true. You can, we're at this point now where people just need to be encouraged and told a little bit of direction. I think even us folks that are into kind of the integrative medicine model, sometimes it can be that we make it too complicated for people. You know, before they know it, they walk out of the, you know, the door and they have 60 bottles of pills and now they're just as discouraged as when they were taking meds and not knowing why they felt bad. So I think it's really important that small changes sometimes, just like with your friend here, I mean, small changes can create huge impact. And that's why you take the first step on the journey. Because once you start to see some changes occur, well, then it makes a huge difference in terms of your, you know, quality of life. It changes the rest of your life, right? You're down 40 pounds. Your blood pressure is normal. Mm-hmm. You got vitality and energy probably oozing off of her now. And it for me, it's personal mission. Like I think people deserve vitality at every stage in life. And it only takes a little bit of work and a little bit of effort. And before you know it, you actually enjoy living the way you're doing.
Are women still dying in large quantities and large demographics from heart disease and from blood pressure problems and strokes and heart attacks?
Absolutely. More women after menopause will die due to heart disease than men will. So women are not immune to this. A little bit more immune early, but not nearly as immune once they enter menopause. So it's a significant issue for both men and women.
You know, it's a scary situation, but sometimes a little dose of reality, sometimes a little sprinkle of fear and a little bit of, I know I should be doing this anyway, seems to get people a little bit more motivated. One thing I just want to touch on really quick is a good night's rest. Obviously, a good night's rest means you're getting good quality sleep. And, you know, and I think many people kind of stumble through the day because they're staying up too late or they're not getting a quality sleep. And, you know, got men with prostate problems getting up to urinate 2-3 times, pain factors, a lot of stress issues. But when we go back to basics of good diet and water and exercise, part of that basic is a good night's rest. I don't think people realize that you can weaken your immune system and raise your blood pressure by just not plugging in and charging your batteries.
Without a doubt, I look at sleep as, you know, it's at the top of the priority. You got to get that 7 to 9 hour number if you can. It's got to be restful, and you should wake up feeling refreshed if possible. And you know, people don't realize that, you know, that the real high risk time is during the night. So when you're not sleeping well, and you have elevated blood pressure, you really run risk of triggering a cardiovascular event. And most cardiovascular events happen in the early morning hours it's directly correlated. And I really think that a lot of that has to do with the fact is when your brain does not rest, when you don't allow your nervous system to offload the wake brain that you had all day, it triggers a lot of these problems. So, you know, obviously there's the wake brain and the sleep brain. And when you stay in wake brain too long, that all those stress signals really make an impact on your chemistry.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking yesterday about how we have to choose our outlets for information as well. We need to make sure that we're choosing places to go for good quality information. And just like the news that we are privy to every single day, sometimes sitting down, having too much time and focusing and watching the news and these issues being bombarded at us can really, truly stress people out. So sometimes we have to unplug. Sometimes we have to read a book rather than watching the news and the same stories over and over and over until it's imprinted in our brain. Because I know people, they get severely stressed and their blood pressure just goes up by sitting and watching the news, you know, especially during an election year. That's enough to make everybody crazy. So I think we need to make sure that we are decompressing and relaxing. And like you mentioned, some Tai Chi, some yoga, you know, a hot bath with some lavender oil, you know, de-stress a little. And, you know, this is the best time for a positive social outlet, you know, and kind of getting away from the negativity. There's negativity we can't change, which is very stressful on the body, but there's also negativity that we allow to be in our life. And I think those are the things that you know, that's part of the we can do this and we can make a change. We just have to get aimed in the right direction.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. And that's why I said, you know, breathe deep a few times a day. Get into doing some breathing practices. Really de-stress yourself. Yeah, turn the phone off. Turn the TV off. Really get yourself to relax, to remember what it's like to relax. I got to tell you, I got a lot of people that I even have to, you know, hey, do you remember what it's like to relax? I use a, there's a little app I use called Brainwave. It's just, you know, sound that literally you can lay there and just allows your brain to just shut down. And then you get good at doing it without having it on. Now you don't need it anymore. You just lay down and relax. And I have to teach people. So I could not agree with you more.
You know, I think we learn a lot from, you know, a little bit of education can go a long way. Sometimes a little bit of information can be a bad thing. So we just need to make sure that we search out, you know, good quality information and that we try to remind ourselves every single day that we deserve to be healthy, but we have to put a little bit of effort into it. You know, a savings account is only good if you put some money in it.
Yes, that's so right. That's exactly right. You know, what I try to teach people is about the whole concept of metabolic reserve, meaning that if, God forbid, you got into a wreck, mm-hmm. the sturdier and stronger your body is, the more you're resilient to any type of health crisis. When you don't have good metabolic reserve, when your body's overweight, you're a smoker, you're not sleeping well, maybe you're having too much alcohol, when all these things are compounding against you and you have an event happen,
right?
That's
very, very
where
true.
You start to see people have issues.
We have to remember that getting healthy, the big part of it is to do the right things, ask the right questions. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is Talk Healthy Today on Radio MD. For more information on this and all my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for tuning in, and be well.